The seventh chakra. The seventh chakra is located at the top of the head, at the crown of the head, and its element is pure energy. Its color is violet, and it's related to the skin, to the brain, and to maintaining hormonal balance in the body. Its instinct is ethics, universal ethics. Its psychological aspects are selflessness, integrity, and wisdom. Its gland is the pineal. Its negative expressions are psychosis, regression, and cynicism. Its potentials are transcendence and illumination. The crown chakra is at the very top of the head, and it's the portal to the heavens. In the same way that the first chakra is the portal to the earth, the second chakra is the gateway to the sun and to the heavens. Through this center, we reach up to the stars and to our destinies. Whereas the earth protects us and nurtures us with her life force, the heavens propel us toward our becoming. Remember that seeds sprout only when they're in the rich, dark, and moist earth. Yet they grow later by the light of the sun. After germination, all plants turn to sunlight for life. This chakra is our access to the stars, and our local star happens to be the sun. According to lore, persons who have attained the gifts of the center no longer need a physical form. They're able to travel through space and time, and they are at one with heaven and earth. They can manifest at will, where they wish, how they wish. The lessons of the seventh chakra are the mastery of time. In this center, we break free of linear, causal time and are no longer in the tyrannical grip of the past. So that today is no longer the result of something that occurred to us 10 years ago or 20 years ago. And we experience freedom from cause and effect. When we awaken the center, we live with one foot in this world and one foot in the world of spirit. And we realize that they share common ground. So while in the sixth chakra, the shaman acquires knowledge of the past and the future, when she awakens the gifts of the seventh chakra, she's actually able to influence those events. She can help heal events that occurred in the past and assist someone to select an alternate future, perhaps one in which the person is free of the seeds or leads a more fulfilling life. On the upper Madre de Dios River, which is near the border between Peru and Brazil, there's an old medicine man who's a master at working with the ayahuasca. The ayahuasca is the vine of the dead. It's a potion that is drunk by the medicine people in the jungles to journey into the upper worlds and to the domains beyond death. This old man seldom speaks anymore. He really has no use for words. During ceremony, he whistles and sings the songs of the river and of the medicine plants, and you experience yourself as one with the rainforest around you. You and the river are no longer separate. The crickets, the cicadas, and you are all notes played by a single flute. In the seventh chakra, we understand that life is an intricate web of luminous strands, and that each of us is one of these strands, but that we're also the entire web. I remember the first time I worked with this shaman. It had been more than 5 years since I had last taken the ayahuasca. And I knew what to expect of this plant medicine, having tried it many times before, or so I thought. And about an hour after ingesting the bitter fluid, I had a vision of myself dying. I saw my body before me, lifeless, and observed it from a distance. I knew that my identity was intact. I knew that I was the observer, not the corpse. And then the nausea hit me. I ran outside into the jungle and became sick. Everything around me was pulsing and throbbing with life. The giant creepers, the hanging vines, the giant trees that provide the canopy for all of the arboreal life. Everything was alive except me. I had become a living corpse, no longer the observer. And then I felt the pain of my life and the loss of my loved ones. I began missing my children, my spouse, everything and everyone that I loved in my life, and I was stricken with grief. And then I became the observer again and felt free. And for the next chunk of eternity, I went back and forth between these two perspectives, pain and peace, bondage and freedom, life and death, until I understood that they were one and the same. In the seventh chakra, there's no longer a subject and an object. Everything is participatory. Apparent contradictions are merged into one. There's life in death, peace in pain, freedom in bondage, death in life. The negative expressions of the seventh chakra is spiritual regression, masquerading as enlightenment. Although it is true that in order to experience transcendence, one must step beyond ego, we often think that every non-ego state is transcendent. The belief that if you get rid of your ego, then you have only spirit is far from the truth. Many non-ego states exist at different levels. For example, an infant's sense of self is undifferentiated from its surroundings. And in psychotherapy, the lack of ego boundaries are recognized as unhealthy. The egos of people with severe mental illness, such as schizophrenics, are so fragmented that they're dysfunctional. In traditional cultures, in shamanic cultures, the initiation process is carefully designed to make certain that the student has built a solid sense of himself before attempting to dismember the ego and attain the mastery of the chakra. So that there are many non-ego states that are not necessarily spiritual states, that are confused for spiritual states, that in effect are regressive states, where we regress to an infantile, self-absorbed desire for instant spiritual gratification. So in our culture of instant gratification, spiritual seekers often want to leapfrog over the work of the lower chakras. Some are lured by the promise of exotic experiences, and others are simply impatient. Sometimes even their teachers have not completed the healing process of their lower chakras. We all know people that have been meditating for 20 years whose upper chakras glow like radiant suns, but whose children don't talk to them, whose relationships are a mess, whose lower chakras are filled with sludge. These individuals believe that whatever level of development they attain defines enlightenment, openly rejecting the suggestion that there's further to go. They've camped out on a ledge on the mountain, and they can only see what's below, and forget that the journey is endless. And at the same time, at this center, we realize that while the journey is endless, that there's nowhere to go, because there's no I that is going anywhere. So it is that dance of paradox, where duality ceases to exist, where yes, it is black and yes, it is white. What time is it? It's 5:15, and it's timelessness. Individuals who master the gifts of this chakra understand that the river of life flows beyond form and formlessness, beyond existence and non-existence. They know infinity, independent of time or form.